That was great. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand and grab our Bibles. We will not stand long. If you're able, to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. We're going to go through the story this morning. Ruth chapter 1. We'll start with verse 1. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in those days, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, excuse me, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. So you see the story so far. This family moves to Moab. God did not want them to be with the Moabites, of course. They were a people God did not want them to intermingle with. And so they decide to go down there because of bad circumstances. They stay there for a long time. They intermarry with the Moabites, which God had told them not to do. And then the husband and the two sons die. And so now all that is left is Naomi and the two daughters-in-law. Verse, I believe, 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. She hears that things are going well, so she's going to return. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. For the Lord hath dealt kindly with you, as ye and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. She tries to send her daughters-in-law home. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they be grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hound of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse. And they lifted up their voice, verse 14, and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be here. I pray, Lord, in the few minutes that we have this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us through this story. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me go through the story here briefly. The story begins with a family, when a family makes a life-changing decision by moving based on circumstances and not God's will. They basically said, there's famine here, there's bread there, we are going to go there because of the famine here. Now, of course, that was disobedience. The famine they had, by the way, in the Bible, famines were often a sign of God's judgment. During the time of the judges, Israel repeatedly turned from God, worshiped the idols and the heathen nations around them. God had to discipline them. Recently, in our, if you're following the church's Bible reading schedule, we read through the book of Judges, and you kind of got that if you read through it, all of the nonsense that was going on because there was no king in charge. And so they're making this bad decision. We all face times of trial and difficulty. When troubles come to our lives, really, we have one of three things we can do. We can either endure it, get through it, we can try to escape it, or really, we can embrace it. Take it as something that has come from God, and God, if we will stay in his will help us to learn something and to get through it. Elimelech, the husband, made the wrong decision. They decided that they would go there for a short time until they get through the famine. And as you continue on through the story, you see how they end up staying there for 10 years. They stayed longer than they thought they would. It was a total lack of faith. They were moving to a land and a people that God did not want them to have dealings with. And as it happens, their family settled in. The boys marry these women. Tragedy strikes. The fathers die. The sons die. Now, it's interesting. Elimelech and his family had escaped to Moab in disobedience to God because they didn't want to face death by starvation. And they ended up dying there anyhow. I think it's just better to have faith in God. If we obey God's will, everything in life holds together. But if we disobey, everything falls apart, no matter where you're at. they had been better off staying where they should have stayed in a famine than heading out somewhere they shouldn't have been just because it seemed like things were going well, because that's God's will. Now the family is left to band together. It's Naomi, it's Orpah, it's Ruth. Naomi hears things are going better and decides, I'm going to go home. Her daughter-in-laws say they're going to go with her. Both of the daughter-in-laws are going to now face a decision that they have to make. Two women, the same situation, they made different decisions. As we saw in verse 14, when push came to shove and decision time was to come, Orpah gives her mother-in-law a kiss and bails out. Ruth cleaves to her. She stays with her. That's kind of where we're at sometimes. One of them ended up just being a kisser. Not too committed. Love ya. Everything's okay. But when push comes to shove, I'll go back. The other one is totally committed. She says, I will stay. It's like the old story you hear. We've all heard it. The pig and the chicken. They get together and they really appreciated the farmer. They said, we want to do something for the farmer. What can we do? And the chicken says, I know what we should do. We should make him breakfast, ham and eggs. And the pig says, hey, for you, it's a donation. For me, it's total commitment, okay? And so that's what's going on here. One of them was a kisser, not really committed to the cause. The other one, Ruth, was 100% committed. God's not really interested in too much that we become kissers. God's looking for Christians who will cleave to him. Christians that are in it for the long haul. Christians that will stay committed to God. We're going to look at the differences between the two briefly this morning. But before we look at their differences, I want you to see what they had in common. You see, so often we make bad decisions in life and we blame it on our circumstances. We blame it on how we were raised, what's going on in our life, when really that has nothing to do with it. People have faced the same situations we will face and will make the right decisions. And other people have the same situation and they make the wrong decisions. These ladies had the same thing in common. What did they have? They were both in the same family. They were both married into that family. It's a picture of all of us being saved. Every Christian, if you're saved, you're in God's family. They were both traveling. They were both going the same direction together. They were both growing. They were both offered an opportunity to go back. By the way, Naomi should never have told them to go back. It shows where Naomi was. By the way, whenever you get out of God's will, bad things happen. You start not only making bad decisions, you have the wrong kind of thinking. Why would she send them back to that nation so they would go back to being idol worshipers? Last Sunday night, we talked about Baal and what the worship of Baal was about. It was nothing more than sacrificing their children, killing their children, and being involved in immorality. Why in the world would she want to send them back to that kind of atmosphere? They were both tempted to go back. They were both commanded by Naomi to go back. There was pressure put on them. So they both have this, all these same variables going together, and one of them says, I'm committed, and the other one says, see you later. Now, what about us? By the way, Christianity cannot just be some emotional thing. Most of us base our life and base our decisions on our emotions. And by the way, our emotions lie to us. They're deceitful and they're wicked. And so let's not just follow our emotions. But that's what we do. Those type of relationships never last. What was the difference between one who was a kisser and the other who was a cleaver? They stuck it out. Well, first of all, let's look at the kisser this morning for a few minutes. What were her deal? What was her deal? By the way, don't be fooled by those outward expressions. Everything's great. You know, most people are like this in their Christian life. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Oh, everything's good. The next week, it's like, what's going on? Like, can we get on even keel here? Okay? Don't be fooled by those outward expressions. Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Joab gave Amasa a kiss right before he stuck a knife through his fifth rib. Okay, don't be fooled by the emotion. Emotion's great, but it cannot drive the car. Truth's got to drive the car. Commitment's got to drive the car. So what was her problem? Letter A, or the first little point underneath her, she went back because there was nothing in it for her. Naomi came to him. See, back in those days, if the sons died, what happened is the lady got pawned off on the next son. By the way, so if you were the younger brother and your brother got married, you were very interested in two things. Number one, who did he marry? What did she look like? And number two, if you weren't buying into that, I hope he's healthy. Okay? And so she says, look, if I were to have sons tonight and you were to wait for them, you wouldn't marry them. They're too old. She goes, there's nothing here for you. Go home. That's how most people live their Christian life. They're only in it for what they can get out of it. Now, by the way, a good byproduct of living for God is you do get a lot of good stuff out of it. But that's not what you can live for. You're supposed to live for Jesus because he commands us to live for him, and it's the right thing to do. If we're only in it when things are going well, what happens when things go bad? We bail out. What's in it for me? Sometimes people come to church, I need help with everything. And as soon as they get the help, it's like they're on their way. And what's going to happen is they left the place where they got the help, and they're going to go right back to the same nonsense. Stay close to God. Well, things don't seem, you know, it just seems like things aren't going well right now. That is called life. That does not mean God has forsaken you. Doesn't mean it. Stay where you're supposed to be. Let's not have the narcissistic type of Christianity. She went back. Well, there's nothing in it for me. I'll go back to my people. Our society is just really nothing more than me. Me, 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 me. She went back because there was nothing in it for her. Next thing that happened, she went back to her old friends and family. She tells Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people. By the way, listen, when we get saved and we start living for God, it's unfortunate, but there's probably some friends or some people we used to spend a lot of time with that we may not be able to spend as much time with anymore. You say, what, you don't love them? No, because when I'm around them, I want to do things that aren't right. I mean, I had a whole group of friends, and when I got right with God, it's like, I can't be around them. I remember one time, I kind of got that right off the bat, and I wasn't really hanging with them. I was at church, and I was growing, and one night, I wasn't doing anything. I got on my motorcycle. I went to my buddy's house. And I went in there, hey, man, what's going on? And I sat down there, and I was with them for a few minutes. And it only took about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm like, what am I doing here? All the stuff they were talking about, all the nonsense they were talking about. And I'm like, you know what? I got to go. I'll catch up with you guys later. And I left. Now, by the way, I did keep in contact with them. I invited them to church, and I tried to help them. And some of them came to church with me. Some of them got saved. But I wasn't going to allow them to take me down. Be very careful about that. I'm not saying you go up to someone and say, can't hang with you anymore. You're bad. Okay? Be kind, be loving. Look, if you want to be with them, bring them over when you got some good Christian friends around. Bring them to church with you. I'm not saying completely ditch them like that, but be careful. Be careful. They're not interested in God. It may be a point where you just got to kind of cut it off a little bit. Because when you get in a situation like that, someone's going to change. Usually it's a Christian. And I love my friends, but I realized I could not spend time with them because it would have taken me down. But when we're a kisser, we'll go back to some of that. And by the way, family members, be very careful. My aunt's not here anymore. She moved to Texas. But my uncle... I don't even want to mention his name. But one of my uncles, when I was a teenager, he'd give me rides to work and stuff. If my mom knew what he was offering, what we were doing, she would have had a heart attack. Oh, that's just your uncle. Yeah, it was uncle. Okay, not a good influence. All right? I don't even hang around with him to this day. Just kidding. But you'd be very, very careful who you allow to influence you. But when we are not committed, we'll go back to some of these that when we know we're with them, we don't do things that honor and glorify God. So be very, very careful. So we went back to her old friends and family. She went back to her old gods. Verse 15, and unto her gods. Why would Naomi have even pushed her to go back to her own gods? You see what happens when times get tough sometimes as Christians? We start going back to those old things that used to be the most important things in our life to us that had nothing to do with God. We go back to that thing that was comfortable to us. What was the things before you were a Christian? What were some of the things that were the driving force of your life that maybe weren't right or maybe were out of order or out of priority? What happens when we have problems in our life and we're not that committed, we go right back to those things. You say, oh, I've never worshiped another God. Maybe not a physical God, but what about the God of finances or the God of your friends or the God of temporal value? All these things. A God is anything you put before the real God. It could be something that's not even bad. But what happens is we get right with God. We start growing, our priorities are in order. And then the tough time comes. We're not that committed. And you know what happens? Our priorities get right back out of order. She left those gods, but she went back. That's the kisser. Let's not focus on her. Let's focus on Ruth, because the book is named after her. She was a cleaver. What is a cleaver? A cleaver is someone who stays when others leave. Now, let me just say this. I've been at the church 6 months before we started. I've been here the whole time. And it's just life. There are people that come and they'll serve God, and there are people that will come, they'll leave. That's probably the hardest part. Because when someone leaves, they're your friend. I mean, you know, my friends are the people of the church primarily. My family. And when they leave, you miss them. But we have to be very careful that we don't allow them to pull us away from God. Amen. By the way, over the years, what happens, and it happens in every church, someone maybe gets away from God and goes away for a while, and then they come back. It'd be nice if we were still here when they came back. Okay, how many of you know Mora? Okay, he's probably over in the Khmer service. Man, Mora was here at the very early days of the church. He was here as a kid. And he's a little gimpy, but he's got some energy, and he can be a handful. And he was here for a while, a little bit through his teenage years, and he got away from God. Hey, that guy's in Bible college, and he's going gung-ho for God. I'm glad when he came back, we were still here. Okay? I'm glad we don't just take off. By the way, all of us struggle. Say, oh, you know, I've been serving God for 35 years. I've never had a struggle. Well, man, there's something different about you than me. Okay? That's life. Okay? But let's be faithful. Let's stick it out. When you struggle, stay with it. You'll get through it. But the worst thing you can do is leave. She stayed when others left. And you say, well, that's, look at the Bible, Demas. Paul mentions him. Pastor had a whole sermon on this. He mentions us as a fellow laborer. Then the next time he says, well, he greets you. He says, hi. The next time he says, he's gone. He's in the world. He left. He's out of here. Okay, yeah. By the way, you know, and there's guys in the Bible and Timothy. It's like, hey, of these guys and Hylimius, and they named him and said, these guys aren't very good. How would you like to have your name in the Bible for that? Okay. You know, if I lived in those times, my name was in the Bible, I would not want it to be in that context. Hey, these guys bailed on me. Okay, for all eternity, for everybody to read. Okay, I don't want to be like that. But she stayed when others left. She accepted the new. Verse 16 of Ruth chapter 1. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. See, she was going to a whole new place she had never been before. These were different people. These were God's people. Totally different lifestyle. Totally different worship system than the people in Moab. And she said, you know what? I have come. It says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 15, she came to trust in the Lord. And she says, I'm taking everything of it. Everything that's new, I'm in. By the way, when you are a Christian and you start serving God, there's a lot of new things. There's things, in the early days, I remember all the things. It's like, you serious? That's what Christians are supposed to do? It's not what I was doing, but I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to accept that. The God's people, you know, they were different than when I came in, the group of guys my age. They did different things than the group of guys my age we used to do. But you know what? It's like, that's what God wants. I'm in. The way I spent my time, I was selfish and did my own things. And what are we doing this weekend? What are we doing tonight? And now it's like, man, ministry. Getting on the bus route on Saturday, teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning. Sunday afternoons, I would go to with some guys to a rest home. Now, they made a mistake of letting me preach, and that was not a good idea. I'm telling the people, you're going to die someday. Man, they knew that. Okay? They already saw Jesus out of the corner of their eye. They knew it was coming. But I go every Sunday afternoon, and I'd hang out there with those people. And then we'd come back early, and then after church Sunday night, I'd help them set up for the Christian school. Whatever I could do, that's not how I used to use my time. Except the new. By the way, if you're newer here this morning and you're a newer Christian, say, there's some things I've heard in the time I've been here that is new to me. Listen, if it's scriptural, buy into it. Buy into it. It's what God has. That it's a new life in Christ. She accepted all the new. Next, she was committed to the end. It says, verse 17, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You know what she said? And the front end, she said, I'm just telling you right now. And she wasn't even married, it was her mother-in-law. Okay, just that phrase, mother-in-law. There's something about that just, my heart hurts. Just kidding, I have the best mother-in-law in the world. She's 1,200 miles away. She is a great mother-in-law. I get along with her great, but some of you struggle with that. I get it. But that wasn't her husband. That was mother-in-law. She says, I'm in. I'm going to be with you. I'm here. Death, do us part. You know how most Christians come in? Let me check this out. Let me see how it goes. By the way, you can't do that in marriage. I say, I'm going to check it out how it goes. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. It's not going to go well all the time. Not my marriage. Brother Pichardo's told me about his. Okay? It's like, really? It's not going to be honeymoon. There's a reason the honeymoon lasts 2 weeks. Okay? It's reality-based. And you better come in with the idea. No, by the way, marriage is good. Don't take that. Stay with this thing. But who would come in saying, I'm in, I do, as long as it's working out? That doesn't work. There's got to be a commitment level. Why do we come into Christianity like that? Well, you know, as long as this, you know, this church thing works out for me, I'm okay. No. We got to say, I'm saved. I'm God's child. I'm in. All the way till death do us part. See, we have this, we have an American style of Christianity now. Oh, everything's going to be wonderful. God's got a plan for your life and nothing bad will ever happen. You might want to read the Bible. The Bible corrects a lot of that stuff. Okay? Paul, he saw Jesus on the Damascus Road. Hey, it was rough. Wasn't that long after. They're getting him out of the city in a basket because people are trying to kill him. Okay? Now look, no one's chasing you down and we're not throwing you over the roof in a basket to save you from being killed. But hard times come. But if we're not committed to the cause, we already have one foot out the back door. Take both of your feet and plant them. And when something's pushing at you, push back. We just don't have that gumption anymore. And our whole society is like that. We're just raising a generation of quitters. That's all it is. They don't know how to keep a job for more than a week. They don't know how to do this. It's just the first sign of resistance, woo. Well, that job just doesn't, brother, you got to make money. Stick it out. Well, you know, this just isn't working out. Quit whining. Okay? Just have enough gumption to say, nothing is pushing me off. And that's what she said. There's so many other things. She was decided in her mind. I like this. Ruth 1:18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking unto her. I like that. You see, you realize Naomi was trying to push her out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. And finally she said, this girl is coming. She is in. I can't get her out of here. I'm going to stop bothering her. I wish we had Christians like that. They just stand forward and say, you know what? I don't care what everybody says. I don't care what's going on. I'm steadfast. I don't care what the guys at work say. By the way, if you're a Christian at work, they're not going to jump up and down and say, woohoo, we're so glad you're here. They're probably going to push you. They're probably going to do things. They're probably trying to irritate you to get you to be a bad testimony. But if you're steadfastly minded and say, I love Jesus. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to be mean, but I love Jesus. You're not pushing me off the rock. That's what we need. She accepted others' imperfections. Now, look at verse 19. This is interesting. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, the word Naomi means pleasant. Okay? Now, look what they said. Verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. Mara means bitter. When they came into the city and they saw her after 10 years, they're like, what in the world happened to her? They could see the difference all over her face. They said, this isn't the same lady that left out. There is something wrong. And she goes, don't you dare call me Naomi. You call me Mara. I'm bitter because God didn't deal with me right. Now, can I just tell you something? Ruth did not follow Naomi because she said, what a wonderful Christian. That's how I want to be. In fact, if anything else, she should have been repulsed by her. Like, this lady is bitter. She blamed everything on God, and it was not God's fault. So she wasn't following because there was something in it for her. We find out when you read the book of Ruth, you know what was in it for her? They got their food by her going and into the fields and picking up the scraps that the harvesters left. That's how they did the poor people in those days. They would harvest their fields, and if they dropped something, they were not allowed to pick it up. That was for the poor people to pick up. They couldn't glean the corners of their fields. Those were left for the poor people. God had a welfare system, but they had to work for it. But here she is going with this lady who's bitter, who she's going to have to go out in the field and pick up leftovers to eat. But she didn't let that stop her. You see, so often we see a Christian that has a bad attitude or a bad spirit. By the way, you shouldn't have a bad attitude and you shouldn't have a bad spirit. But we see someone who says they're a Christian and they're struggling, they're doing something, and we use that as an excuse for us not to do something. We use that for an excuse for us to move off of our position. Why? That's their issue. Okay? I'm not going to stand before God for how Charlie acts or Brother Pichardo acts. I stand before God for how I respond. And I say, well, you know, Lord, I didn't serve you because Brother Pichardo, and Brother Chim, are you kidding me? There was someone I knew that went to that church and God's going to say, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Okay. Why don't we quit using that as an excuse? And by the way, we only do it spiritually speaking. Listen. If you work somewhere, you probably have some people that have some bad attitudes. You probably have some people that are they're about as cuddly as a porcupine. Do you walk into work and say, that guy was mean to me, I quit? Really? No, you put up with it. Because that's his problem, it's your job. But we do that in church. We do that when we come to following God. I'm not following God anymore because I knew a Christian. Listen, for every Christian you knew, I knew 10. And maybe more. I don't judge Jesus on Christians. Okay? Christians let you down. Jesus doesn't do that. Okay? So why don't I just follow him and it's fine? That's what Ruth did. And I will say this and we're done. She experienced God's blessings. She experienced God's blessing. Say, what happened to Orpah? Not Oprah. Orpah. Okay. Well, Orpah had her own television show. She became a multimillionaire and had a whole business. She even has a radio station. No, that's not her. This is the other one. I have no idea. I imagine if she went back to Moab, which she did, she didn't follow God. She probably, because there wasn't many God followers in Moab, and there probably wasn't any. I know what happened to Ruth. She got a new husband. And this one was loaded. I mean, brother had the goods. You know what I'm saying? He was good. And you know what they did? They had a baby. And by the way, Naomi even got happy. She nursed the baby. Because of Ruth's faithfulness, Ruth was blessed, and she was a blessing to others. And guess what? She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Why? Because she didn't just kiss and bail. She stuck it out. Blessings come to those who stay with it. You say, oh, everything's not going to be honky-dory. But you know what? The blessings will come. But are you going to stick it out? Are you going to set little side issues, push you off to the side? Or will you be committed to the Lord and stay with him? That's our choice today. Are you a temporary? Are you as long as things are going okay, then you're Orpah and you're a kisser? Or are you going to be like Ruth? I don't care what's going on. I'm in this thing for the long haul. I don't care what others do. I'm cleaving to the Lord. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed, every